If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 2 in your Bible and just hold that there. Thank you very much. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and just hold that place. So in the message 2 weeks ago, we learned how to listen to God accurately using a practical method for listening to God. Last week, we brought to the forefront that God has an uncommon love for us. And we described and presented an illustration the problem that we presented was that we used the English word love to describe what? Everything that we like or love. I love ice cream. I love my family. Oh, I love Jesus. And I love everything. But it all gets put into the same container. And God said, don't treat me that way. I'm not one of the things you just happen to love. So the problem was that we described love, used the word love to describe everything. And God just becomes one of the things that we love. How is this a problem? Well, God and his love is unique. Would you agree? God is unique. There is no other like him. And that his love for us is uncommon. It goes way, way, way beyond the love we understand, even relationally, and with really good relationships on earth. God's love goes even way beyond that. He deserves to be held in the highest place of honor. And in fact, he commands us to do so. Ever heard of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20? What's the first one? You shall have no other gods before me. Money? Retirement? Bank account? Looking good? Whatever it be. God wants to be and needs to be, commands us to put him above everything else, to put him first. So when we place God and his uncommon love among all other people and things that we love, we treat this uncommon, our uncommon God in a very common way. And when we bring him down to what is common to the rest of the things that we love, we treat him in the way that we treat everything else. And sometimes we don't do a very good job of treating things we love. It's really no different than someone who worships many gods. Not M-I-N-I, but M-A-N-Y. Many, lots of gods. And I don't claim to be one who worships many gods. I worship the one true God, as Scripture describes him to me. The solution is to love God by the Greek word for love, agape. The Greek is what the New Testament was written in originally. And in the Greek language, it's a much more specific language than the English is. And the Greek word agape, which means to love sacrificially, to give of yourself. It costs you something to love God in a very special, honored way. We place God where he belongs as the first priority in our lives above all else. Last week, we also asked this question. What does it look like to honor God's uncommon love for us? The answer is this. We give God our uncommon obedience. Let me ask you. When you think about obedience, your obedience to God compared to something that is uncommon in your obedience to God, what does it look like to you? I think a common obedience is stuff that's easy for us to do, to obey God with. A lot of you are here at church today. Hebrews 10:24, do not give up meeting together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of his return approaching. See, you're here today, and it's pretty easy for us to do this, isn't it? But what's an uncommon obedience look like? I think an uncommon obedience is one where, God, this scares me to death. I don't want to do this. I don't know how to do this. God, this is not easy for me. And yet, I choose to do it. It's uncommon for me to obey you this way. I think that really honors God, don't you? It honors Him. It honors Him. And that's the point of today's message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for your word to us. God, that we can come before you and give to you sacrificially, that is, through an uncommon obedience. And Lord, that you would know that we love you enough, that we care about placing you in the highest place enough. Father, that you would know we're giving sacrificially, we're obeying sacrificially. Lord, you command this, and you deserve this. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. So let's look at an uncommon decision. Number one in your outline. In order to understand who God is and what He is like, Jesus needed to come to us. He needed to come to earth and live among us. And there were a number of witnesses, eyewitnesses, who wrote about who He was, what He was like, how they saw Him, His character, His nature, and they put it in this book. And we have now eyewitness testimony of who Jesus is, of who He is. So Jesus, when He came to earth, He made an uncommon decision. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Paul is talking, and he says this: your attitude. Ever had anybody say something about your attitude? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God Himself, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he said, yes, I am God. I am part of the Trinity. But as I step down onto this earth, I'm setting that aside. I'm not going to acquire the powers of Godhead. And I'm going to live just like you. So when I scratch my knee, it's going to bleed. And when I hurt my finger, it hurts. Just like you. And when I get loved, I like it. And when I get rejected, it hurts. I hate it. Jesus lived just like you do now, because He put aside His Godhead. Verse 7, but made Himself nothing. That's a form of saying servant. Taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient, even to death. An uncommon obedience. Death on a cross. Jesus has modeled this for us. Jesus knew it takes an uncommon love and obedience to follow God. And He did it. This is why He challenged the crowds who were following Him with these words in Luke chapter 14. These are familiar words, but they're very powerful as well. Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, 26 says this. I'm going to start in verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, He said, are you ready? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his very own life, he cannot be my disciple. Ouch. Really? God? Jesus, do you know what you're asking of us? And Jesus said, yeah. Because I left my Father to come be with you. We need to have this idea of saying, Jesus, you are first priority among even the greatest things I love, like my family. Jesus doesn't mean you must literally hate your parents, your family, or your life, nor does he mean that you cannot have a family or good things in your life. His point is this: if becoming Jesus' disciple means that your family doesn't want you to associate with you, then you let go of them. You let go of your family. Why? Because if you don't let go of your family, you'll let go of Jesus. And so, Gabriel, would you come up here for a minute, please? You don't have to say a word. Just stand right up here and look handsome. Okay, let's say this cup is everything of Jesus. And this cup is your life and your future and your family. Everything about you is in this cup. Everything about Jesus is in this one. And Jesus says, he says, to follow me, you have to be willing to let go of everything of you. That's not easy, is it? What do you think about in terms of your future? What plans have you made for where you're going in the next year, 2 years, 10 years? What do you hope for that will be good? It's in this cup. And Jesus said, if you do not hate, again, it's not literally hate, it means you must prefer me, way up here, you must prefer me way over this. Because if this goes up here just about like that, it's going to be a big struggle. Yes? Okay, so put them back down. Following Jesus is going to cost you. It's going to require an uncommon obedience to your uncommon God and his uncommon love for you. He promises, I will never forsake you or leave you. Do you believe it? And so when we ask things like, where do we get my security? Where is my hope? Where is my treasure?
It's all right here.
I have to greatly prefer that over this. So much prefer it that it seems like I hate this. Wow. Think this. Brothers and sisters, I think the church in America today has become very weak because it hasn't made that decision. Is that right? And every one of us needs to make it. Now, Athena Christian Church.
This is spiritual.
That, yeah.
This is worldly.
Yeah, physical. So yeah, physical. That's right. Yeah. Preach it, brother. So,
and that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And this is really tough. So.
Consistently.
Yeah, consistently.
Some days we go, oh, this is easy. I got it. Yeah. Okay. Athena Christian Church, I'm very proud of you. I want you to know, have you seen the announcements? You just heard them and just saw them. Look how many things you're doing to invest in your community at cost to yourself, in your time. Hallelujah. ACC, I'm proud of you. Way to go. Yeah. Let's keep doing that. Keep investing. Now let's take it one step further, a little deeper. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Sir.
You're welcome.
I'll let you sit down before you take over. But you could do a good job too. Now let's take it one step deeper. What I just told you was this. You're giving of yourself, you're doing it in community, but here's the thing. I think we love doing it in numbers because we're safe in numbers, in groups, right? Ah, let's get this group, let's go do this thing. Jesus calls you not only to groups, but individually to say yes to him when you have an opportunity to share who he is and what he's like. And that takes a little more guts. And the what ifs become a little louder, don't they? But brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling exactly this of you and me. If you will not hate, in other words, prefer me so much that it feels like hating your family, your greatest treasure on earth, then you cannot be my disciple. Not that I'm letting you not be my disciple, but you will choose not to be my disciple because your preferences are still here, not there. Placing God above every other thing and person you love is required to give him an uncommon obedience. Placing God above every other thing or person you love is what Jesus meant by Mark 12:30. Say it with me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's what Jesus is talking about. This preference of me is so far above everything else. Is it for you today? What kinds of things would you ask Jesus to point out to you? What do I love here on earth more than I love you? When I got done with my sabbatical, my 3-month off sabbatical, it was wonderful. Thank you very much for giving that to me. Back in 12. Excuse me. And the thing that came so clear to me was this question from God. Delbert, what are you putting first that makes me second? That's a good question. I had to do some inventory with that question. But now that we've been talking about loving Jesus with an uncommon love and an uncommon obedience, now let's get to the really exciting part. A part of this, excuse me, an uncommon obedience produces an uncommon result. Everybody go, woohoo! You're good at that. An uncommon result. All of us have a safety room in our heads. Okay, everybody do this. You like this, yeah. Okay, there's a safety room in there. Everybody has one. It's in your head. And that's where we look at a course of action to decide whether or not this course of action is safe for me or not. It's in my safety zone or outside of it. For example, let's say you have a financial need that requires you to ask others to help meet that need. Safe or unsafe? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime people have come and said, we have this big, big need. It's bigger than us. And I feel like such a failure. Da, da, da. And you know what I tell them? Hey, because you've seen this. You've responded very well. Come stand right here, I tell them, and ask for help. But the what ifs get really loud. What if they don't like it? What if they think I'm a failure? What if? And every time, thank you, Athena Christian Church, you've responded with love and oftentimes even more than what they asked for, and they came away healed of fear. Woo! That's an awesome, uncommon result. It's very common for us to do the same with God's commands, to take him into the safety room. If he tells us through Scripture to bless someone else with a note of encouragement, that's pretty easy to do. That's pretty safe. But what do you do with this command to talk to someone about behavior who is crossing your boundaries, and you know your heart is angry about it, and you need to say something to them, and you're going, well, I'm not really good with confrontation. Well, none of us usually are. But, I'll just let it go. Time will heal. And God says, no, time buries a hurt that will fester into depression if you don't take care of it. It will fester into resentment and bitterness for that person. Don't you dare go there with that. But God, I don't feel safe. Safety? Obedience. Which will it be in God's commands? Safety your way, or the presence of God with you as you go and obey His command? What better safety can you ever have than Him with you, guiding you, empowering you to go and do something that eventually will lead to not only you being healed, but someone else being healed as well? You should be clapping your hands right now. Yeah. Woo! Brothers and sisters, isn't this rich? Isn't this good? Everybody say yes. I love you. So we take these commands of God that are hard and scary, but commands nonetheless. God's not afraid of your fear. He says, go and do. But I go and do, knowing my Father is with me. Jesus said it in Matthew 28:19-20, and I am with you always. What does that leave out? Nothing. I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Wow. He's with you. Take that command to the safety room. You're going to do it. I do it. We think about it, don't we? To our safety room and make one of three decisions. Here they are. Number one, obey God. Number two, don't obey God. Or number three, adjust the command somehow so it's a little easier. I have two votes on that one. Yeah, we can justify making it easier. Let me slide a little bit on that one, God. How about if I just write a note to that person instead of going face to face? And that note gets misunderstood, and now things are even worse than they were before, because you didn't take the courage to be there to explain yourself when questions arose. You see? Uncommon obedience is powerful. Somebody said, you're not the only one who's watching. People are watching you. You are a walking testimony, even if you never say a word. People are watching what you do and say, oh, that must be what God is like. One time I knew I needed to ask someone's forgiveness. But I felt it would be a really difficult conversation. And I was really nervous about this conversation. I put it off and put it off. And finally, about 3 months later, as I was reading Scripture, God presented me with Matthew chapter 5, verse 23-24, where He said, Delbert, if you are worshiping me at the altar, and there remember someone has something against you, leave your gift to me at the altar, and go and as best as your ability, be reconciled, and then come back and offer me your gift. Wow. But God, you don't understand. Oh, yeah, I do. What is this verse telling us? It's telling us how much He values how we treat each other, because at the level we treat each other is the level we treat Him. 1 John 4:20. If you hate your brother, you cannot love me, He says. Don't pretend you're giving me a gift at the altar when you hold bitterness against someone else. Do not pretend. I want you to be real with me. uncommon. Give me your uncommon obedience. So I went to this person and we talked it through. It took about an hour. We talked it through, and you know what? Each one of us came away with a clearer, better understanding of each other and a whole new working relationship. It was just like, why didn't I do this 4 months ago? And I gained some healing over fear that had stopped me for 4 months. Uncommon obedience leads to healing. We all have a safety room in our minds, but the question is this: will you respond to God's commands for abundant living with an uncommon obedience? You have three choices: do it God's way, don't do it at all, or adjust it somehow to make it easier for you. Take His instructions for life and relationship to your safety room and decide if they are too risky, or give God's command your full obedience, an uncommon obedience over fear. You can have a safe faith or a growing faith, but you can't have both. What did Jesus say? I wish you to be either hot or cold, but not both. I will spit you out of my mouth. These are very important words to us. God is being very serious with us right now. Are you being serious with Him and His message to you? How does a safe faith benefit you, your family, your community? What will make ACC even more relevant and more effective in Athena and in the East Umatilla County and beyond? The answer, it's your uncommon obedience to His uncommon love for you. Here's some great news. When you meet with God through the uncommon obedience, even though you may feel afraid, you will allow Him to release you from your fears and heal your hurts. It happens. You know what is on the other side of that obedience step you're facing today? Do you know what's on the other side of it? Healing, release, peace, power. A new you didn't know could exist. I'm a different Delbert than I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And I've had to do some scary, scary obedience that I had preferred not to do. And I know there will be more of those moments ahead. But I have an uncommon God who loves me in an uncommon way. And He deserves my uncommon obedience. When you step out in obedience, the fear that held you back grows weaker until it's no power at all. When you step out in obedience, you see your true worthy and your true worth to God and your value to Him and your value to others and realize your fear was lying to you. Paul, come on up. When you become more confident, peaceful, and Christ-like than you ever thought possible when you step out in an uncommon obedience to God. Paul's going to share a moment of an uncommon obedience on his part. Yes, he... So Paul, let me set the scene. A couple of weeks ago, there was a group of our leadership men, who went up on the mountain and spent a weekend doing some really hard introspection. And then we went up on the mountain knowing that we were going to experience some introspection and what that meant. And there was some nervousness in all of us. What am I going to hear about me? How do other people view me? And so Paul went up on the mountain. And what were you kind of expecting you were going to hear from people who gave answers to this survey that we sent out to folks around. What were you expecting to hear?
We started with self-evaluation that we had to do for ourselves. I told the men I had already failed because my own self-evaluation wasn't very high. So at that point, I was ready to not go, not follow through on this commitment. Because I was afraid of what the people I had sent my questions to, I was afraid to hear what they felt in their heart and how they valued me. The healing part was that I valued myself way down here. The feedback I got was here. Satan has been lying to me for years. Through this deal, I have started to kick Satan to the curb. Because what he's telling is a bunch of noise. And I'll pull what I feel. So, not up here, I'm not going to say that stuff. But anyway, it was a huge amount of healing for me. Because I chose to be obedient and follow through.
May I go on?
Yes.
As part of my healing, there's a lady in our church who has been gone for a long time. I went to her and told her basically the same thing I've told you. I said, will you allow your church family to tell you what you're worth to them? She was hesitant, but she has said yes. So not only did I get some healing out of this, but hopefully she will get some healing out of it as well. Amen. Simply because I said yes and followed through.
Do you want to say who that was? Or are you doing this individual people? Or are you telling everybody who she is?
The lady is Kate Ward. Anybody who would like to write a letter for Kate, please do so. Give it to me. You can put it in my box, my mailbox out there. And if there's a bunch of them, I'm not going to overwhelm her and give her, you know, 80 letters. I'll spread it out over a period of time. But just write her and let her know that whatever God puts on your heart to give to her. Thank you.
Yeah. See the ripple effect already of how how Paul's obedience is already leading to someone else's healing. It's quick. It's good. It's powerful. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Thank you very much, Paul. Let's close today. Worship team, come on up. Let's respond to God. Respond to God. Make today a new day. Make today an uncommon obedience day. Read the scriptures that are in your bulletin, your outline, your sermon outline, and choose one characteristic or obedience step that will improve your relationship with God, yourself, and with others. No matter what you choose, just choose one. There's a number of them listed here. Choose one you will need to give God your uncommon obedience to accomplish. Are you up to it? Yes? Okay. Brothers and sisters, we're on the grow. Because we have an uncommon God. Woo! Yeah. With uncommon love. Dedicate now yourself to Him. Put Him high above everything else that you love. and watch what happens. Let's stand together and sing.